turn now to the book of Galatians, the fourth chapter. In your Scofield Reference Bible, that's page 1246. We're reading verses 12 through 16. Galatians chapter 4, verses 12 through 16, page 1246. We'll read these verses responsibly, taking note of the text verse, verse 16. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. My temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear ye record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. And let's read together the text verse. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Let's pray. Father, there is multiplied joy here. A lot of folks enjoy coming to the services. It's their Mecca. It's what they live for throughout the week, to be here with God's people, to meet here with Christian friends, brothers and sisters, and to hear the preaching, the faithful preaching of the man of God. Meet with us in power, lest we pray the service, the message. Help us to listen, please, on purpose, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, the music has been good this morning. Thank you very much. Now, this morning, you must listen carefully. Would you might pick up that thing out of the aisle there. Somebody's going to slip on that walking down the aisle after a while. There's a bulletin there in the aisle. And you must listen carefully. Before I bring the message, I want to say that I do not know of a single enemy I have in this room. I've said this across the country. I may be wrong. I don't know. But those of you that heard me preach across the country heard me say this. I believe this morning if we had a secret ballot as to whether I stayed or left this church, I believe I'd be shocked if there was a vote against me. I really would. The reason for that is that I'm so wonderful. My thanks to all three of you who said amen. But I really believe that. I do not know of a single enemy I have, so I'm going to make some this morning. I'm tired of not having any enemies. I never have wanted you to hear a sermon any more than this one. I'm speaking this morning to our people, and I really want you to hear me. Take your Bibles, please, and look to Galatians again, chapter number 4. I want just to read a portion of this and explain it to you, and then I'll bring the message. Chapter 4 of Galatians and verse 12. Paul had been to Galatia, and they had accepted him wonderfully. In fact, he says later on that they would have plucked out their eyes for him. That's how much they appeared to love him. Now, Paul had come back and had found a trend in the Galatian people, and Paul had preached against that trend. And then some of the folks got mad at him and became his enemy. So look at verse number 12. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Now look at me. Paul said that you're mad at me, but you've not injured me. I'm not mad at you. That's what he's saying. I want you to know that though you feel negatively toward me, I have no negative feeling toward you. Look down in verse number 15. Where is then that blessedness you speak of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. I get this. Am I therefore become your enemy? Paul said there was a day when I believe you'd just plucked out your eyes from me. Now you said, am I your enemy? Look at it. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Put your pens down, please. Our folks know better than that. Listen to me now. I want to speak this morning on the subject, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I want every single child to put down your little papers, and I want you to listen to me. I want every teenager to forget your talking and whispering. I don't care where you are. I want you to listen to what I'm going to say this morning carefully. We have no problems in the church. I don't know of a single enemy in the church. But I want to talk to you seriously this morning. Father, bless me as I speak, and our people as they hear, and those who eavesdrop upon the conversation I have with my people. May they be blessed today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want the person that's hollering amen over here out of order to quit that. I don't mind you saying amen, but I don't want you doing it out of order. By the way, some of you folks need to start doing it in order, too, by the way. I wasn't talking to Sergeant Blackwell. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Everybody, right this way. I preach by principles. If you will check very carefully what I preached on 10 years ago, I'm preaching on the same thing today. If you will check very carefully what I preached against 10 years ago, get my tapes 10 years ago, and you'll find that I'm preaching, or 20 years ago, I'm preaching the same thing I preached then. Why? Because I preach by principles. I'm going to make several statements. I want you to listen carefully. Number one is, I never preach to attack our people. Never. Never. I never preach to try to hurt anybody. I have no agenda. I have no plan for your life. I preach by principles. And by the way, let me say this. Those principles will continue to be preached on, the same ones I've preached over and over again through the years. I never preach to attack anybody. Statement number two, I only preach to help. Statement number three, there may be a principle that I preach sometime with which you do not agree. Next statement. If you do not take my advice, I love you just as much as if you did take my advice. I want that very plain. If I preach something that's a principle, and I'll preach it whether you like it or not, but if I preach it as a principle, and you do not follow that principle and go against my advice, I still love you just as much as I ever did. Next statement. I still want you in our church. If you are doing something that I think you should not be doing, listen, don't miss me, don't miss it now. I still want you in our church. This is not a church of perfect people. It is a church with a perfect pastor. Those are all my employees that are saying amen. But this is not a perfect church. And I accept you as you accept me with our imperfections. Next statement. I will not mistreat you. Now listen carefully. Don't leave me. I will not mistreat you if you do not practice what I preach. If one of the principles that I preach from this pulpit is contradictory to your practice, or if you're contradictory to that principle, I will not mistreat you. When I see you, I will be as nice to you as if you were doing everything I preach, and as if we agreed 100%. Next statement. I will not be pleased if others mistreat you. Now let me stop and say this. There are people that do more wrong by mistreating folks that do wrong than the folks that do wrong. My Bible said that we're supposed to those that are weak in the faith, receive. My Bible says if somebody falls, we're supposed to love them and run to them and try to pick them back up. And I will not endorse mistreatment of anybody because somebody does not practice what I preach. Now you see, I preach hard. And by the way, let me make this statement. I I never preach to criticize you, but I preach to criticize the thing that's going to destroy you or hurt you. Now, let me say it again. I'm going to make those statements again. I never preach to attack anybody. I only preach to help. There comes a time when a principle that is preached from this pulpit you may not agree with and may not even obey or practice what I preach. I still love you, if you accept my advice or not. I still want you in our church. I will not mistreat you or be unkind to you, and will not be for in favor of anyone being unkind to you or mistreating you. Today, a young lady said to me, my mother won't come back to First Baptist Church anymore because some folks won't speak to her because of something she did in her life. Now, you folks that won't speak to anybody, that's not New Testament Christianity, to say. So I will not mistreat you if you don't practice what I preach. And I will certainly encourage our people to love you. Now, don't misunderstand me. I may advise somebody not to marry you. I may advise somebody not to have close friendship with you, a close social interaction with you. But I dead sure will love you, will want you in our church, and will want to help you, and I'll be proud to be your pastor. But, plainly, let me say it, I preach by principles. My principles come from two sources. One, this book. If this book says it's wrong, then I preach what this book says. Number two, I choose my principles from 50 years of observation. Give me an illustration. Brother Ray Young had back trouble. He also has wife trouble, but he had back trouble. What was it? A vertebra that was what? Smashed? He had a smashed or some vertebrae. He goes to a doctor. The doctor's not the kind that would have his sign out. But it's sort of a health food, health kind of a doctor. He goes to his doctor. By the way, he goes to Mayo Clinic first, and I believe in Mayo Clinic. I think it's a wonderful place. If I ever go to the doctor, that's where I'm going to go, but I'm never going to go to the doctor. Doctors for women and backslidden men. But anyway, Ray Young goes to this doctor. And he has this vertebrae, and Mayo Clinic says surgery, right? Got to have surgery. This doctor says, I can help you. Now get this. This doctor says, I want you to get some chicken feet. Now you know what chicken feet are like, just a bunch of little gristles. And he said, I want you to make some chicken feet soup. Sounds good, doesn't it? Chicken feet soup. And every day, I want you to drink this chicken feet soup. And this dumb Ray Young every day drinks chicken feet soup. Do you know his back is healed? And just the other day, Miss Howe said to me, she read somewhere, that now they got chicken feet soup in little pills. And Ray Young, chicken feet soup. I'd rather have that back. But you know what I said? I said, I wish my people had as much confidence in my principles I preach as Brother Young has in a doctor he never met before a few years ago. Now, it looks like to me that if you'll trust the doctor who knows more medicine than you do, and trust the lawyer who knows more law than you do, you'll trust the preacher that knows more Bible than you do. You see? Now, Brother Young didn't wake up in the morning and say, I'm hungry for chicken feet soup. But he trusted this doctor. He up until that time, he had never met the doctor, never seen the doctor. Here's a guy he did not know, a guy he had not seen before. And he trusts this guy when he says, drink some chicken feet soup. Personally, I'd rather have a Whopper with cheese. But now, wait a minute. Why then wouldn't you take advantage of 50 years of a man watching how people turn out? People say, you have a lot of wisdom. I don't have a lot of wisdom. I've got a lot of years. I was singing in my class a while ago, they sang a duet, where we'll never grow old. I hated them. They're dedicated to me, I'm sure. But But I'm saying that looks like to me, if a fellow for 50 years, let's get this now, the man that has observed more people growing up than any man in the history of the United States of America, the man who's pastored more people than any man in the history of our country, it looks like to me that you take his consideration rather than your own 18-year-old opinion. You see. Now, you say you think you're perfect. No, the doctor doesn't think he's perfect either. There's no more about medicine than you do. And you'll be a lot closer to getting well if you trust the doctor than trust yourself. And you'll be a lot closer to winning a court case if you trust the lawyer instead of yourself. And you'll be a lot closer to having a successful, happy life if you'll trust the man of God when he says you're doing something you shouldn't be doing. Now listen carefully. I'm not through yet. I'm not to the worst part yet. By the way, I may preach till 10 past 12, but we'll still get out by 12:30. So don't get worried if it's 12:05 and I'm still on point one. I preach by principles. Get this now. And I love you enough to preach those principles regardless of your response. Let me remind you. If I see it in the Bible, or if I've seen lives, the majority of which have turned out with heartaches and tragedy, and you agree with it or don't agree with it, it's coming across this pulpit. You see. And I'm going to, don't forget, I told you a while ago I loved you. I told you a while ago that if you do not agree with what I preach and do not agree with some principle, I still love you. I want you in the church. I'll treat you as a gentleman should treat you, and I'll respect you, and I'll encourage our people to treat you with the same kindness and courtesy. But if I see you doing something that I think you shouldn't be doing, I will scream and spit and stomp to warn you if I think that you or yours are in danger. I have been preaching these principles a long time before they applied to you. And here's something interesting. People will come to First Baptist because I let her rip. Boy, I like that old hard preacher. He's not scared of anybody until it applies to you. So what you like best about me is I let a rip to your neighbor. Now listen, you ought to thank God that I'm not scared of you either. You see? And you ought to thank God I'll let a rip to you. But let me remind you, I never let a rip because I'm mad at you. I let a rip because I'm mad at what you're about to do. And because I know what it'll do to you. And so I'm going to spit and stomp and scream and holler and kick over microphones and warn you when I see something you're going against in the Bible, or if I see you about to do something that has wrecked the lives of people that have done the same thing before. So the main reason you came here is because you liked the way I preach to other people. Now, sweetheart, and Oswald, I love you as much as I love the people that were here when you came. And I don't want your life ruined any more than I want their life ruined. So I'll say this, listen carefully. Don't expect me, hear me now, don't expect me to quit preaching these principles because it's you. See, while your kids were little, I'd preach to our teenagers and you'd say, amen. Now your kids are teenagers, and I'm preaching the same thing I preached before, and you're saying, oh my. I will hear this statement carefully. And this is love. Genuine love. Hear this statement carefully. I will lose you before I won't. I will lose.